Stanley Turrentine on tenor sax with Two Blue, Bob James on piano, and threw in an extra chord or two on the organ, for good sake, Eric Gale on guitar, Ron Carter on bass, and Idris Muhammad on drums. This is from Turrentine's 1973 album, Don't Mess With Mr. T. This is Lead Stories. I'm Lutrice Lead. And we'll be talking, as usual today, about a bunch of things in the news. But more importantly, your take on the bunch of things in the news. And we can get started right away with that, as a matter of fact. So I thought about asking you to kind of put some extra flourishes on this news item. As you know, we've been giving you clues. So you decipher the clues, and then you tell us what's the news item, what it's about, and why it's important, what's significant about it. And you give us your own take on it, because I guarantee you it won't be the same as the media coverage that we routinely get. All right, so let's start. By the way, you call 888-874-4888. You should be ready for anything that comes your way, because you know what's in the news. 888-874-4888. And let's see what question you might be willing to tackle. Okay. So we start off with this clue. No dog, no pony, and in fact, only a few show. No dog, no pony, and only a few show. What could that possibly be about? Who's going to tackle that? No dog, no pony, and only a few show. 888-874-4888. It's a cute little item, but it's very significant just the same. And I wondered whether you might be able to figure out what that's about. No dog, no pony, and only a few show. As backup, I'll give you another one. The newbie starts a fight. The newbie starts a fight in Washington. All right, we have two things. You can choose either of them and see where you go with it. 888-874-4888. If you've been paying attention to the news, if you've been following what's been going on, you should be able to get to this in no time at all. These are not complicated clues, but they are very interesting news items. 888-874-4888. So we have two in play so far. No dog, no pony, and only a few show. And the second clue, the newbie starts a fight in Washington. All righty. Don't tell me I have to give yet another clue. All right. I mean, you're pushing it. You're pushing it. But I'm a good sport. I'll go with it and see where it goes. Trump's Saudi woes. Trump's Saudi woes. Is anything registering with you? Are these clues telling you where you ought to be going and what you ought to be telling us a bit more about? 888-874-4888. I was so sure that I would have so many takers. The clues are so simple. They're really not that complicated. All you have to do is to just pause for a little bit and take your time, and you will come up with the answer to the clue and then the issue itself. Khalil from South Carolina, what have you deciphered so far?
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hope everyone's well today
Thank
in your
you.
area. So on the second clue, that leads me to think about Ocasio-Cortez, I think her name is, from New York.
Correct.
So she's shaking things up and making people feel uncomfortable, and actually making some of these entrenched, quote unquote, progressive Democrats look weak in her demands.
All right. So get a little bit more specific. Tell us what you think. What started this whole thing that gave you the answer? You got the answer correctly, but let's.
Her label as a socialist, a Democrat. She
All right,
ran as a
so who
Democrat.
is Ocasio-Cortez?
Oh,
That's
well, she's an
her
independent woman.
hyphenated last name. What's her first name?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I
Well, you
want to
got
say Rosario. I know
Ocasio-Cortez.
her, that's the middle name. I don't really know. That's a shame, isn't it? What is her
But you
first
got
name,
it right.
please?
You got it right. Ocasio-Cortez is her hyphenated last name, if you will. All right. What is the news about her?
Okay, well, I'll start today and we'll try to move backward. Just today, she said that she's going to pay her staff a minimum of $15 an hour. So she is backing up her rhetoric, being a socialist, a democratic socialist, and working for the people. That's supposed to be her mantra, her campaign position, her platform.
Well, yes, she shamed especially the Democrats, but she shamed all of Congress, saying, why is it that it is acceptable that people who are, some of them are interns, but some of them are working full time in people's offices for no money?
No money.
Never mind the $15 an hour, some of them are getting $0 an hour. And why should that be? So she has decided that she will be paying her staff at least the minimum of $15 an hour. Great. How do you read that?
Well, I think that she's trying to show that she's about, she walks the walk and talks the talk. And I think what's going to happen, and this is good, this is actually a good thing. This is going to shake out the frauds in the Democratic Party. The people who have these fraudulent platforms.
All right. What other ways do you think that this is a significant development?
Well, she's a woman, number one. She's young. She's a minority.
She's the youngest. She will be once, the formal process goes through. She will be the youngest person ever elected to Congress. She is a Latina. She is not of the basic common variety ideologically. She is a democratic socialist. And she actually has been attacked a lot. First, when she said that she was not going to be able to find affordable housing, not on her salary, and she would have to go a couple of months without a salary and live on her meager savings, and that posed a hardship. And it was a source of entertainment and hilarity for conservative media, laughing at her, saying, essentially, she's so poor.
I didn't
But
see that. That's terrible.
yeah, it's terrible, but she keeps going. And she was able to face them down. She didn't back off. and she's very clear about where she stands. So this was a great thing that she's doing. She has decided that I am not going to countenance this business of people working for free. Because since you also raised the flip side of that coin, she said that many times the people who are working for free are the sons and daughters of very wealthy people. And they're getting, in effect, the added bonus of congressional experience because they can afford to go without a salary. She said these are paying positions, and therefore people performing these functions ought to be paid, period, which will open up the whole idea of who gets to work and who gets, you know, to work because they are connected to people of power.
Because how many people can afford to not take a salary and put that type of time in? That's a luxury.
Right.
May I ask you a question about
healthcare?
Because
they're connected to families that are doing quite well. So for every slot that such people occupy, they are blocking people who are qualified and should get those jobs, except, of course, it doesn't happen. So this would free up some spaces, some slots in Congress for people who are trying to do congressional work and learn the insides of Congress. You had a question?
About her stance on single-payer health care.
Well, she hasn't moved away from the fact that, you know, health care for all. She has not moved or amended that. But that is a big fight coming, and we should watch it. That is a big fight coming, and she intends to be right in the middle of it, insisting that there should be health care for all. This business of some people getting health care, some people not. She's already parted ways with that, and she favors the same thing because she worked with Bernie Sanders, and she favors single-payer health care for all.
Well, great.
Thanks, Khalil, for getting us started and for solving that little clue there. Daryl from New York, you're on the air.
Thank you, Yatrice, for taking my call. I'm glad to see that you are doing the work that will make my brain grow. We miss you in New York. You know that. The second one, did it have something to do with the testimony of the head of, is it Homeland Security or is this the CIA? CIA, Gina
Haspert. I can't remember the last name.
It went from 60 degrees yesterday to 20 degrees today in New York. So you have to forgive the lack of synapse quickness. But does it have to do with her testimony before the Senate and then the senators coming out?
No, it doesn't.
Oh, okay. So then I'll go away.
But not so fast. I think you have the answer. No dog, no pony, and few show. What does that suggest to you?
Well, I'd like to say it suggested the Bush funeral, but that wasn't it. I'm stuck with the CIA and that testimony. So I'm going to pass it to someone who's a little bit more creative.
Oh, okay. But you really should. Well,
stay
you
with
know
it?
What you should
but
do.
Give me another
some more.
I think something about Bush. Was that Bush in?
No, it's not Bush. But you're in the right.
I mean
circle.
Trump. See, that's what I'm saying. The weather change. The synapses. We need more glutathione and a little bit of ribosa, and I'm right on the game. You're laughing, but you know it's true. Okay, so what was the Trump clue that you gave?
The Trump clue is Trump's Saudi woes.
Oh, that's because he won't give up on Khashoggi, and I don't even know why. I mean, it's on Prince Salman, but I don't even know why.
When you say you wouldn't give up on him, what do you mean?
When he bonds with someone, he looks at it as a, from, you know, just exteriorly looking at his behavior, he bonds with the person, and then he considers it being loyal, even when it's obvious that the person hasn't told him the truth, nor is he capable of, since he can't be wrong about anything, he can't accept when he is being lied to until it actually financially affects him.
But what are the specific woes that you think are being referred to?
Oh, the economy is, like, totally whacked out. He keeps sending these signals that, quote-unquote, Wall Street doesn't understand. I mean, there was a point in which if the stock market lost 700 points, taking away that it was only 3%, 700-point shift, who made that money? Because somebody made a whole lot of money yesterday, and we don't know who they are.
So, okay, but you're straying off the point.
Okay,
there's
so the point is that he throws out a comment. He throws out a comment. A lot of people are going to get hurt by that comment of I'm a tariff man. And what was that all about, other than him having a
rant? We don't
know
what's going on in Trump's mind. We really don't. We know that he is showing all the signals of a person beginning to freak out. And this is one of the reasons. His Saudi woes.
Okay, so, all right. This Saudi... Okay. My challenge here is that the United States talks about a ceasefire. You want a ceasefire? Stop filling up the planes with gas. Stop giving them GPS information. There's your ceasefire. But nobody's saying that out loud. You know,
well,
I mean, keep the bomb sales. I understand you need it for your bottom line. But just don't fill the planes up with gas. They can't get there without the gas. I should say without the air refueling. So you want a ceasefire? Stop it. You don't. No one else has to do anything other than you keeping those tankers on the ground, and the bombing stops. Now, who has said that out loud anywhere?
Well, you're in the neighborhood. But I want you on the street. Yeah, you're getting there, but it's a little, you're a bit way off.
Yeah, I know, but I told you, the temperature change. I'm surprised I'm still having a conversation here. All right, like I said, I'm going to let someone who's actually thinking get on this, and just know that anytime the City Sun is ready in any form, you can just bring it on back.
All righty.
We'll finance
thank you so much.
Right here.
It was such good fun talking with you, but you made a good effort, and that is admirable. I love it. Thanks so much, Daryl, for your call. 888-874-4888. So we have this clue, Trump's Saudi woes, and we have an outstanding topic that has not yet been addressed. No dog, no pony, and few show. I thought you would have the answer to that. I thought you would know this. 888-874-4888. Take your shot. Take a chance. And try and figure out what these clues mean. With your discerning self. Okay, Beatrice from Brooklyn, what do you think of any of the clues so far? Which one will you tackle?
Trump Saudi rose.
Okay, let's go.
Yeah.
What do you
well,
think
my
that,
perception.
What is that referring to?
To me, it's referring to the fact that he knows that the man is pretty probably guilty, but he doesn't care because he's more interested in the money that's going to come from the guns and whatever it is that they sell to them. He's only concerned with that. But yet, they keep telling him he's guilty. The man is, I don't know who was it that found him guilty. But they keep telling him they have proof to confirm that so-and-so is guilty of killing this man, Khashoggi.
All right. Which
but Trump
okay.
does not
All right.
care.
Just put a name to it. He is not listening. He's not paying heed to that. He's ignoring that, is what you're saying.
Exactly. Yes. He doesn't, he knows, deep down, Trump knows that there is a big possibility that this is true. But he feels, he does not want to accept that because he sees.
Look, his own intelligence agencies have said, this is what they call it, an assessment. They don't want to say it's definitive, but they basically say this is our finding that he was murdered. And he was murdered at the behest of high-level government officials. I don't think they actually named Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince, but others have since embellished on the FBI's report and actually named him. So why is this a problem? Why is this a woe for Trump?
Because he wants this country as an ally.
Okay.
That's the bottom
why?
Line. He wants the country as an ally.
Why?
Well, one is money, the amount of money they're going to make from selling their arms, the United States arms to them. That's one. And number two, this country tends to think like he does. They don't care about their people. They're more interested in people like Trump, people they can do business with, people like Trump. So if they decide to come together for whatever reason further down the road that has to do with annihilating another country, Trump will know he has him in his pocket if he stays firm with the belief in basically saying, well, I still don't believe it. Deep down, he knows it's true, but he does not want to accept it because he wants to keep this country as an ally. Because
okay.
he sees that further down the road, they'll be able to come together and do some things together. But not
All
for
right.
the benefit.
So you got a piece of the pie identified here, the piece of the puzzle, and fine. What is the other part of the puzzle?
The other part. Let me think.
You did well. You did well. This is great. This is great. It means that you're keeping up with things. We're not expecting you to be a reporter about this, but to have a general idea and to begin to think about what could possibly be the reason that Trump is finding himself in difficulty on this particular matter.
He does not want to, well, to me, he doesn't want to say, yes, I believe this, and I'm going to cut ties with this country. He does not want to say that.
Uh-huh. Well, you know what? You did a good job. I think you did a good job. And congratulations for doing a good job. You didn't get the whole enchilada, but you came pretty close. That's good. Thanks so much, Beatrice, for calling in today. I appreciate it. Michael from Brooklyn, what say you about that clue?
Hi, Beatrice. I'm going to try to take a stab at the no dog, no pony.
Okay.
I think that has to do with Rudy Giuliani's anniversary party that had to be canceled.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't get even funny. Part of the enchilada then.
Oh. I gotta tell you, what is really great about this is that people are becoming far more comfortable with the idea of taking a stab at things. You know, there's no rule that says you have to know everything.
Yeah.
But you make a good effort, right? You don't want to take a stab at that other piece of the puzzle here that we didn't get to yet.
Which one was that?
That Trump's Saudi woes.
Well, the previous caller did touch base on what I was going to say about how he's conflicted because now the Senate and there's Republican senators, some who are supporters of him, who believe the CIA's report that Khashoggi was killed by the Saudis. So he's sort of just the last person in the room to come to that realization.
Well, guess what you just did? You just solved it. That's the problem. He is between a rock and a hard place. So. His allegiance to the Saudi government, especially MBS, as they call him, Mohammed bin Salam. Oh, jeez. Mohammed bin whatever. Okay, I'll get to it in a minute. Which compelled him to not turn his back on Saudi Arabia, even in the midst of overwhelming evidence, even from his own FBI and intelligence agencies. He is defying them. He is disregarding what they're saying and holding fast to Mohammed bin Salman. Now, at the same time, he's got another problem, and that is, you're absolutely right. Right here in the U.S. of A., his own party is turning on him, and leaders of the party are turning on him, saying, what is your problem? Mm-hmm. Why are you, as the head of state, why are you basically turning your back against your own intelligence gathering agencies? What the heck is the matter with you? And now that leads to further questions. What further questions do you think that would lead to?
Well, it sort of leads to me to think, well, what is your staunch allegiance to the to the Saudis, but I had a question even with the Republicans changing their opinion, because why is this Khashoggi killing that? I'm not trying to sort of minimalize it, but is it really that important? Because I just find it, after all the things that Trump has done before, and other things where it's come up with the Russian meddling and that kind of thing, why now would they all of a sudden believe the CIA and the FBI and then go against Trump?
Well, there's something here, and we touched on it some time ago, and it still is a valid angle to follow. This Khashoggi has been presented to us as a journalist.
Right.
I talked about the fact that many major news organizations hide assets within their ranks as journalists. It may not be the case here with Khashoggi. But you have to look at the obvious questions here that have gone unanswered. Here's a person who was very tight with the royal family. Mm-hmm. He was a member of their inner circle. And something happened that caused him to cut against their grain. And with that, he felt a need to leave the country.
Right.
And with that, you have him suddenly appearing in the editorial ranks of the Washington Post as a special kind of correspondent. Now, this is all of this is telling me that there is an undercurrent here that has not even been touched. You have a lot of people working at major newspapers and magazines and influential media outlets who are presented to us as correspondents or experts, or you know, they write articles or columns and so forth, but they really come from a whole different world. And is it possible that Khashoggi was someone like that, who was actually given shelter and given a whole a veneer as a journalist, but operating still within the world, you know, the shadowy world of this cloak and dagger kind of arrangement. But he, at least because of who he knew and what he knew, would have been useful. So he was given a place to hide in public as a correspondent or columnist for the Washington Post. That angle of it is what intrigues me most.
Right. Yeah, because I remember your broadcast in which you've spoken about that, and that is still questions that are unanswered. So with, and I'm still curious about that as well. But do you think that this whole situation is being used as an event to sort of sever the ties with the Saudis?
Well, no, because I don't think America as a country, given, you know, its deep interest in billions of dollars, they would seek to cut ties with any place that could give them that kind of revenue.
Right.
But the significant development on our side of the page is now we're seeing within the ranks of the Republican Party, leaders of the Republican Party are now holding Trump accountable. He must now account for what it is that keeps him so closely tied to the Saudi regime.
Right.
And we're talking about what is his name from South Carolina? The senator from South Carolina.
Oh, Lindsey Graham.
We have Lindsey Graham, and we also have Corker from Tennessee. They are now moving in a direction that is beginning to startle Trump and other Republicans, because now they're saying there's something else here that we need to know. And we don't know what it is, but we need to know it.
Right. I just wonder if they're going, if they've truly had this epiphany now, or if this, they too will go against Trump right now, but then they'll get sort of back in line.
Well, we'll see. The one thing that is interesting is that they're raising the questions very publicly,
right,
and it is a direct attack. This, they're not being diplomatic about it now. They were diplomatic before, but they're not diplomatic now. They actually have their fists all balled up and ready for a fight. And they are not treating Trump with, you know, the usual deference and the usual, you know, give him a break kind of thing. They're moving in on him now which indicates that there's something that they know or want to know. And the other part of it is Trump's disdain for the intelligence community, to which these senators are like, you know, this is our sacred agency.
Right,
how could a president, how could a president do this in public and before the world and embarrass the nation this way? This to them is a, you know, a crossing of the line in a way that they never expected. And to say nothing would mean that they're countenancing it, and they want it clear that they're not countenancing it.
Right, because, I mean, you see the sort of deference with Trump to Putin, and now sort of the deference to the Saudis. Yeah, I think it might be enough is enough.
Oh, yeah, because now they're going to start looking at contracts. You know, did Trump and his family and close friends and favored people, did they enjoy a level of largesse from the Saudi government over many years that made them or that have made them impotent in securing the interests of the United States? And now we have this Khashoggi alleged murder being a source of international concern. And it is hard to tolerate Trump's position on it. To say, and well, I just don't believe it.
Yeah,
I know the FBI did their thing, but I just don't believe it. That is not the response that you would get unless there is a compelling reason for him to defy reason and logic that way.
One last thing, can I ask? I'm sorry I'm taking up so much time, but do you think any of this has to do with the timing or with the supposed timing of this Mueller investigation coming towards some sort of end or some big announcement coming up, and folks are thinking it's not going to be good for their side, so they sort of want to give the appearance that they're not so closely aligned?
Well, it would definitely, I think, it would stem from it. It would have some kind of an effect on it. Mm-hmm. But this investigation, this specific issue, would require so much manpower and money to get to the answers. And then after you get to the answers, you the question being raised would be, is it worth it?
Yeah.
Based on where this thing would go, based on what we are likely to learn about the relationship between Trump and the Saudis, and the Saudis alone and how they operate, and where money became involved, you know, money being moved around and so forth, and the ripple effects of all of that, we would see, we would enter a whole new world that perhaps we're not prepared for. But it's a very important question. But I'm still stuck at the basic question of who was Jamal Khashoggi?
So am I. Because any life is a precious life, but it just seems like this is being used as an example for something more. And it's just, I just don't understand it. Because even when you watch the BBC at times, you'll still see all this.
Yes, but, you know, the thing that troubled me was just the strict definition. They gave us a strict definition of who he was right up front. He's a journalist. And I know enough about how major media at a particular level, how they operate. I don't see it. I'm not comfortable with the label that he was just a journalist.
Right.
I think there is something else there that needs to be looked at. Thanks a lot for your call.
Yeah, thank you for taking the time. And I echo what the previous caller said. We need the city sun in New York again.
Thanks so much. It's a good compliment. 888-874-4888. I'm surprised that we don't have takers for, we have some things still unanswered here. Okay, so we just dispatched Trump's Saudi woes. We dispatched the newbie starts a fight. We have some new ones that you can talk about. The senior citizen president. The senior citizen president and Les Moonves and the board. Those are still in play for those of you who want to take a stab at it. I admire your spirit, by the way, and this is just so perfect that if, even if you just have it as an idea, you're brave enough to introduce it and see where it goes. That is music to my ears and to my heart. From Chicago, Henry, which are you taking on?
Hey, Jutris, how's it going?
All right. How's about you?
All right. I'm okay. I think I'm going to be the brave soul to take the no dog, no pony, no show.
Okay.
God, that was very difficult. But I'm thinking about the other day with the hearings on the Khashoggi killing, the CIA director not showing up for those hearings.
Oh. Well, actually, that wasn't it. But it's okay. Proceed.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, I tried.
Well, I mean, it was a very good try. There's nothing wrong with it, except that I had a specific thing in mind. Because, believe it or not, as quiet as it is, it's a significant development. No dog, no pony, and few show.
Oh,
I'm referring, of course, since we're getting close to time, to Bill and Hillary Clinton. They were supposed to have been right now in the middle of a glorious lecture circuit event, right? This talk, and people are paying thousands of dollars, supposedly, to have some kind of closeness to Bill and Hill as they talk about whatever it is they're talking about. But if you look at the pictures, almost they've rented out these major stadiums and major venues, and nobody's showing up. Very few people are actually showing up. In some cases, not even a quarter of the venue is filled. People have no interest, really, in the Clintons anymore. And that is very scary. I don't think that Bill and Hillary Clinton would ever have expected that this was going to be the reaction to this much vaunted event. You know, the coming around, maybe in a major venue in your town, get your tickets now, that kind of thing. And then they show up, and it is pitiful.
Well, you
very
just,
few
I don't
people
think-
show up.
I don't think it's scary. I think it's encouraging. I think people are starting to realize who they are, who they really are.
Yes. When I say scary, I mean in terms of people being so out of touch with reality. What would make the Clintons believe? I mean, with all of the help that they have, they hire the best promoters, they have a crew that organizes these things. What informed the Clintons that, in fact, they got it like that with the people? I mean, if anything, the smart thing you do is you go for a smaller venue so that you could have pictures of people banging on the walls trying to get in. Right, but they've rented these major venues, and there are very few people there. And this has been going on for quite a bit. So I see that they've even come to the decision that they might stop the circuit for a while. For whatever reason, they'll concoct some silly excuse. But the real reason is nobody showing up. Certainly not in the numbers that they expected, that, you know, their minions will show up. So it seems as if they are quietly being served notice and a lesson. What would be the reason, you think? What do you think would be a contributing factor to the quagmire they now find themselves in? They have a lot of bills to pay. They have a lot more bills coming, because they're going to need a lot of money.
Well,
they're running out of money. Their foundation is in trouble, and we still have other troubles that they have yet to face, including Mueller and the investigation of the emails and all of that stuff. They have all those bills to pay, so they need money. And they absolutely believed it couldn't possibly be the case that they've lost so much cachet in such a short time. What are they going to do? And then you look at the, I'm sure every night there's got to be a fight in the Clinton household, because the contrast is obvious. What contrast am I referring to?
Oh, you're asking me?
Yeah. What is the contrast to their problems? Things are not going well. We have a major contrast to how well things are going on the other side. Who would that be?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm a little confused, because I didn't even think the Clintons was even living together.
Well, they haven't been reportedly for a long time. But look, they have to get out of the problems that they're in. So they, you know, necessity would cause them to become husband and devoted husband and wife again. But what I was referring to was the exact opposite is happening with the Obamas.
Oh,
they
yeah.
can't have a venue big enough for Michelle Obama. She sold more than a million books within a week and a half. She is, I mean, singing. The Clintons, nothing. You're hearing only crickets.
Well, I think, like I said earlier, I think people are starting to open their eyes. And obviously the last election should have just been an indication right there that, you know, people are sick of the Clintons now. Just go away.
You know, that would have been his clue. If they had decided to do the so long, we're going away tour, they'd get sold out in a minute.
Oh, yeah. They would have sold out 100,000 seat stadium immediately. I probably would have flew out there and said, so long, goodbye, have a nice
day. Yeah. Have a great party. You won't see us much anymore. We're taking it easy. We're retiring, whatever. But this pitiful thing, and it's happened in venue after venue so far. In fact, I think they tried very desperately to encourage media people not to take photographs of what the stadiums and the arenas looked like. You know, you have just a tiny crowd showing up. They can't keep this up. They're going to have to stop it, because they're hemorrhaging. They still have to pay for these venues, no matter how many people are not there. So it couldn't have happened to a nicer couple, actually. You know, they deserve this.
Oh, God.
And then there's Obama, and then there's Michelle Obama and Barack Obama, apparently they're sailing into success. They've got tremendous success. If Obama says, I'm going to be showing up at the local ice cream parlor, you know there's going to be mass confusion there. But the Clintons, it seems their cachet has worn off. Thanks, Henry. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
So you did well. You did well. So we didn't have any takers, folks. We'll have to find a way to continue that because it's very significant about Les Moonves, the soon-to-be retired chief executive of CBS, and he's about to appear before the board of directors, and there is a major catastrophe confronting both him and the network, having to do with alleged sexual attacks on female employees, several of them. And that forced his decision to retire, you know, hoping that, he'd get the customary golden parachute and he would sail off, even if his name would be tarnished, but he could live with that because on the line is $120 million in severance pay. Now, that is where things are going to hurt. If the board of directors is inclined to believe that his actions spanning several years were not adequately reported and dealt with, and now jeopardize the future of the conglomerate, there's no way that Moonves is going to leave with $120 million in his hands. So we'll see. That is within the week. We should know how that turns out as he faces off the board of directors. Thanks so much for listening today, and truly be very proud of yourselves for taking the chance and answering these questions. You're going to get better at it, I swear to you. Thanks. We'll talk to each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.